Hebrews chapter 10. And if we can read from verse 35. Hebrews chapter 10 from verse 35. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. But the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. And we want this morning to look for a short time at the words that the apostle has in verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith. We have been considering over the last number of weeks what it is to be a Christian. Conviction of sin, repentance, faith. Over the last 2 or 3 weeks, we've considered something of what faith is. We have seen faith that was doubting. Thomas, doubting. And we can be hard on Thomas, but how often do we find the same principle of doubt in our own hearts? And we're just like Thomas, doubting unless he could see. And yet, when he went into the upper room, what a wonderful confirmation there was to Thomas and to faith when the Lord Jesus Christ simply said to him, "Behold my hands and behold my side." And Thomas was able to say, "My Lord and my God." We saw last week faith not only doubting, but faith tempted. Tempted on the sea, when they were rowing in that boat and there was a great storm. And we are told that they were afraid. And we are told the reason they were afraid. Their fear was not because they saw the Lord Jesus Christ coming to them and they saw a figure walking on the water. And they weren't afraid because it was simply in the darkness of the night that the Lord came to them. They were afraid, we are told, because of their unbelief and because of the hardness of their own heart. And therefore we see not only faith that was doubting, but faith here that was being tried and tested. And once again the Lord's words came to the disciples in that boat, "Be not afraid, it is I. Peace be unto you." Now today we want to carry our study of that faith a wee bit further. Because while you see faith that was doubting, while you see faith that was tried and tested, we find that the apostle says that the just shall live by faith. It's almost as though when he's saying here, "Ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For a little while, he that shall come, and will not tarry." How these words could have been brought home to the disciples on that boat. Patience. You are rowing, you are doing what you are supposed to be doing. But have patience, the Lord will come. The Lord will appear. And the just, he says, shall live by faith. And he goes on to show many examples in the next chapter how many of the saints of the Old Testament there were who through faith were enabled to overcome great trials and tribulations. They were able to leave Ur of the Chaldees. They were able to build an ark. They were able to bear children after age. They were able to do many things. And it was by faith. by trusting in the Lord their God. We want then to look for a short period of time at what the apostle says here. Now the just shall live by faith. And the first thing you will notice in this is that faith is not simply a dead principle. Faith in the heart is not something that is dead. As we will see, it is not just a belief in a few simple facts of Scripture. It is by faith that the believer, the just shall live. Faith is a living principle in the soul. And when a believer, when the just live by faith, it is that principle that is called into exercise in the soul. Who is it, first of all, that walks by faith? Well, he says it is the just. And that's not just those who are justified by faith, but it is those who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is those that the apostle calls the righteous man, as opposed to the man who is proud, the man who is full of pride. It is the man who has been humbled under the mighty hand of God to see the futility of his own endeavors, of his own work, to see the futility and the impotence of all that he himself and even all that the world itself is able to do for him, but rather one who comes to see the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ and the majesty and the glory of Almighty God as it has been demonstrated and manifested before us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The glory of God the Father in his wisdom, in his power, in his holiness, in his justice, and in everything that is manifested in the mercy and the love and the goodness of God, man himself is brought low and seen, and is brought to see how he himself and the things of sense and the things of time and all the works of his own hands are but nothing in comparison to the righteousness that is to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Can we say today that for ourselves, that we know what it is to be justified by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do we know what it is to be that righteous man that has been humbled and seeks the righteousness of God, seeks the glory of God, and that by his Spirit has been humbled to wait upon God day by day? Are you waiting upon God day by day? Or are you waiting upon the things that are seen and of sense day by day? Well, the apostle here says, the man who is just, the man who is just, who is justified, the man who is right with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, the man who has been humbled under his hand, he will live by faith. What is that, living by faith? Well, to live by faith, how comprehensive this statement really is. To be living by faith. Not just to have faith. Not just to have a belief. Not just to have a general knowledge of the truths of the Word of God. Not simply to comprehend a few parables or stories in the Scripture. Not to have a vague idea of God as the world has. The world has a vague idea of God. The very heavens and the earth and all that there is seen indicates to us that there is a God. And not simply a vague idea that we may be responsible before God, as even our conscience may tell us. But how comprehensive this is when the apostle says that the just will actually live by faith. Living day by day and living by faith. Living by faith. Life itself, when you come to think on living and life. Life itself comprehends and embraces all the activities of our being. Life includes the soul. Life includes the body. Man is made up of a body and a soul. You can see and you visibly, you know, and you see the activities of the body. But there are also the activities of the soul. The unseen part of man. A man thinks. A man wills. A man believes. A man has affections. And the soul will indeed have a great ruling effect upon the body. The two are united together in one person. Body and in soul. And that body, that living, that life of the soul and life of the body, as it is set before us in the creation story, the creation account, where God created all things in 6 days, He created the very pinnacle of that creation, was man himself, body and soul. Now, there is the outward, the body that is seen, and there's the inward soul. And in them both, they embrace what is called life. Now the activity, all our activities, body and soul, are dictated by two things. One of two things. It is either dictated by the objects of sight, what we see. The body and the soul will be dictated by what we witness, the objects of sight. All that we learn and all that we know simply by ourselves. You know, you learn every day. A little child is born into this world. And as that child grows up, it learns things every day. You look at even children, 2, 3, they're learning. They learn this aspect. They learn that aspect. They get knowledge. And they see and they witness. And how ready children are even to see and witness the example of adults. And how they will follow adults. They learn as they grow up and as they go to school. They're learning more. They're learning science. They learn maybe how to add. They learn to read. They learn to write. They learn to add and to count. And then they go into universities and they learn sciences and they learn philosophy. And all these things are but what are seen. And what we know by ourselves. What we learn and what we may detect by what we know and what we see of ourselves. And even the believer is able to say, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. When he walks by what he simply learns and thinks he knows of himself. And when doubts, and when he, rather than walking by faith, he begins to walk by sight. Is that not the case of the disciples in that boat? When in the middle of the night the storm arose and the Lord Jesus Christ was not with them. He wasn't with them in the boat. And they seem to be rowing and rowing and they're getting nowhere. And they're walking by sight because they begin then to be afraid. And we are told it's the hardness of their hearts, even though they had seen the wonderful miracle of the Lord Jesus Christ providing bread and fish for the multitude. Yet they go on what they themselves can see and discern by themselves, by their own senses, by what they feel, and by what their senses simply come to understand. Thomas himself almost gives us an insight into that when he comes to doubt and he says, I won't believe unless I can see, unless I can come to some appropriate knowledge by myself, unless I can come to some knowledge or teaching or understanding by myself. And I will come to that when my senses will see exactly what is there. Unless I see the marks in his hands. Unless I can feel them. Man by nature lives all his days that way. His whole life, his body and his soul is living simply on the objects of sight. The knowledge that he himself can come to and can attain to by himself. But there's a second aspect to life, to living. And that is not living by sight, but living by faith. Living by faith. And here it is not simply what man himself can comprehend by himself, by his own sight, by his own feeling, by his own knowledge. But here man comes to live by faith, by supernatural revelation. By a supernatural revelation of God, so that we lay faith upon the things that are unseen and the things, as the apostle says, that are eternal. Supernatural revelation. Truth that then does not simply rest upon our own knowledge, upon our own ability, upon what we see in our own senses. But faith rests upon the very authority of God himself and of the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to the disciples when they were in that boat rowing away. They saw the Lord coming to them. But what was it that gave them peace? It was the Lord Jesus' word saying to them, be not afraid, it is I. What was it that gave the confidence to Thomas? Was it that he actually came and he felt and he put his hand into the side? Not at all. He didn't do that. It was the words of the very Lord himself who said, Thomas, look, behold, it is I. He didn't need to go any further. And we today, and even Thomas himself, as he lived there and as he saw, the Lord says, blessed are those who will not see and yet will believe. Those who will not even have that sight of the Lord, but by faith will believe in the risen Savior. Faith then, it's a supernatural revelation of God. And it trusts and it rests upon the authority of God. And as we've already seen with Thomas, the two may not even be totally distinct. Thomas saw, and he believed. The believer may see even in creation the very hand of God. But even that is imperfect in him. Faith comes to rest upon the supernatural revelation that God has given to us in his word. It is trust And it is assurance that what God has revealed to us in His Word is truth. Today, how do we live and how do we walk? Do we live by faith or do we live simply by sense? To live by sense includes all the sciences, falsely so called, all the objects of sense and all the material things, all the philosophy of this world is nothing in comparison to the truth as God has revealed it in His Word. And not only does it need a supernatural revelation, it needs the work of the Spirit in the heart in order that we may behold and trust. Not only is it needing a supernatural revelation that we may receive faith, but it needs the supernatural revelation of God that we would exercise faith. The apostle says that he needs grace even for grace. He needs grace even that he would exercise grace. He needs the almighty power and supernatural revelation of the Spirit and the work of the Spirit in the heart to see and to believe and to trust the things that God has revealed concerning His Son, Jesus Christ. Man today turns that around in its head, you see. Man says it's the things that are seen that dictate what we believe. Man puts his trust in science, falsely so called. Man puts his trust in philosophy. Man puts his trust in the things that are seen, in the strength of chariots and in the strength of man. It is man that is going to deliver him. It is man and the arm of flesh that is going to save him. And even when man himself looks away from the Lord Jesus Christ and puts his trust, like the Pharisees, in his own unaided work, he is putting his trust upon the arm of flesh. And he is denying, and he is living in unbelief. That's where we are today. That we think we'll be saved because of our own unaided works. Then we are putting our trust in the arm of flesh, and we are not walking by faith. But look at how the apostle here brings out all these men who by faith, Abraham, he believed God. And God said to him, Abraham, arise and leave Ur of the Chaldees. And by faith he left even his father's house. Noah, for 120 years, being warned of God, built an ark to the saving of his soul. For 120 years, he showed forth faith before the eyes of an unbelieving world. And he trusted in the promise and in the warnings of God. He believed. He believed what God says. And if you live by faith, then it means that the soul is governed by that faith. There is a power that is governing within the soul. A power that affects the affections, the will, the mind, the thinking, and all that the soul will be exercised in. There is a governing power of faith in the heart. And that not only in the heart, but it expresses itself in the body. Faith dwelling in the heart will express itself in the body. And what does it mean then, if there is a governing power of faith, that we do not walk by sight and the things that are simply seen, but that rather we walk by faith? What does it mean then to live by faith? And it means, first of all, that we must not be devoted to the things that are merely of the world. The worldly things. The world is taken up with the things that it sees. The world is taken up with worldly things. But the man, the just, shall live by faith. They are not taken up by the things that are of, or devoted to the things that are of the world. But whatever there is of the world, it must be in subjection to the man who lives by faith. They are subordinate to living by faith. It doesn't mean to say that these other things do not have their place. Science has its place. Philosophy has its place. Even material things have their place. Of course they do. But the man that lives by faith is not devoted to any of them. They are all brought into subjection to the Word of God. And to the man who lives by faith in the Word of God, everything else in this world, all philosophy, science, falsely so called or otherwise, it is all harnessed and brought into subjection to the Word of God. Because the man, he lives by faith in the Word of God. Not in what is seen. Not in the word of man. It doesn't matter what man it may be. It doesn't matter who it may be. We live by faith in the Word of God. And that means that we are not devoted, nor do we bow to the things that are of the world. But if it is that we are not devoted to the things of the world, then it means that we are devoted to something else. We must be devoted to the things that are unseen and that are eternal. If we live by faith, if our life is taken up with the things of faith, then we look to the things that are unseen and that are eternal. We look to the Word of God and to Christ as He is revealed in the Word of God, and to what Christ is saying to us in that Word. And what does Christ say? He says, let your conversation be in heaven. Let your desire be in heavenly things. Let your affections be tainted by faith and governed and living by faith. Let your affections be towards the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm reading the book that we had to read just now, and you see the love of Mary, for example, coming to that tomb. Her love, her devotion, affections governed by the Lord Jesus Christ. But yet our affections ought to be governed as well by faith, by believing what the Lord Jesus Christ has revealed in His Word concerning Himself, concerning glory, concerning the unseen kingdom that is revealed even in this world. Jesus Christ in the Word as the object of our faith. But not only ought we to be devoted to the things that are unseen, but also to seek them by prayer and in fellowship. The man who walks by faith loves to speak of his faith, loves to speak of the things of Christ, and by prayer seek them at the throne of grace. Here is an apostle that goes through great trial, great tribulation. He's cast into prison. He faces death. How is it that he faces death? He faces death itself by the faith in the Son of God, who gave himself for me. So that the apostles are able to say, for me to live is Christ. But my faith takes me even past living, because it takes me to death itself. For me to live is Christ, and to die is great gain, because I know that my Redeemer liveth, and I know whom I have believed. And his faith takes him through the valley of the shadow of death, takes him even to the point of death, and his faith bringing him to that point and being able to say, death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? It is all swallowed up in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for me and who gave himself for me, says the apostle. And we are to seek that in prayer and in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it doesn't just say that we are to live by faith. Now the just shall live by faith. But we are told elsewhere, and we are told through the scripture, what that faith is. It is the faith of the Son of God. The faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not any faith that we are to live by. There's many people in this world have faith, some faith. But when the apostle speaks about faith, he says, faith, the faith of the Son of God. That's the faith that's able to give him assurance. As we were saying last Sabbath evening, only the Christian faith can give assurance in the midst of trouble, in the midst of trial, even in the midst of death. Only the Christian has an assurance, because he comes to God, who is the covenant-keeping God, who has entered into covenant with his Son, Jesus Christ. The head of the covenant, and the one who has given himself as the head of the covenant, it is the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ that alone is able to give us that assurance. To believe in his person, his work, the relationship that he has with his people. No general belief in the truth of Scripture will ever give anybody true and real assurance. It's only when we have the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ that is able to say in the midst of trouble, I can trust in him. I know him. I know what he has done for me. He has come into this world and he has suffered and died in the room instead of sinners, of whom, says the apostle, I am the chief. And I know that although I will let him down, Peter was able to say, even though I let him down, I know that he would never and has never let me down. And therefore, if we live by faith, then what trust, what assurance in the midst of all of life's difficulties. But more than that, even sin itself. Sin and corruption, all our backsliding. Do we live by faith that even all our backsliding in the Lord Jesus Christ, I, he says, will heal thy backsliding. You don't live up to what you ought to be, but look to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. Living, believing. And the practical aspect of that is that in the midst of whatever providence may come our way, in the midst of walking and living in this world, we are able to look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Even as the disciples had to learn that in the midst of the storm, the Lord saw them. The Lord knew them. The Lord is bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. He's able to sympathise with them. And therefore, by faith, the believer is able to walk even through the valley of the shadow of death and to fear no evil. Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they give me comfort.